A year ago, I did a homily on the Holy Family, and a lot of the homily was on where the expensive gifts had gone that the Magi had given to the infant Jesus, and some say that it was kept for Jesus' burial when he was crucified. But if we look at John 19:39 through 40, it states, Nicodemus, who had first come to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight, all for Jesus' burial. So the initial gifts the Magi had given Jesus were already gone, which again points to the theory that the value of the gifts was used to fund the Holy Family's trip and extended stay in Egypt. So now we are back to where we left off last year. Let's carry on with their trip and stay in Egypt. Our Bible has very little information about their stay in Egypt, so you have to go to other sources and hope that they are accurate to get information. A lot of my information comes from the Coptic Orthodox Church in Egypt. They have put a lot of effort into mapping out the Holy Family's travel routes and preserving the places where they stayed and how long they stayed in each place. In ancient times, several areas that the Holy Family were noted to stay at were littered with natural and man-made caves. The theory is that their habits of only staying in one spot for a short time and every few days, or at the very most, a couple of months, then to move on and relocate to another place, indicates that the Holy Family were being hunted by Herod's men, or at least they felt like they were being hunted by the Romans. I am aware that Egypt was out of Herod's jurisdiction, but it was still under Roman rule. It's possible that Herod had contacts with the Romans in Egypt, or may have sent some of his own soldiers into Egypt to pursue them. The reason I say that is that in Egypt there's what they call Mary's tree. The tradition says that the Holy Family stopped under that tree to rest in the shade. While they were there, a group of Roman soldiers rode by looking for them, and the tree branches and the leaves drooped down to hide the Holy Family from them. The tree has since been looked after by the monks in that area. The tree is protected by barricades, and over the years has started to die. And the monks have replanted it with its own seeds in the same spot. So the wooden branches from the original tree are still there, with a younger tree growing up through it. The tree supposedly has healing properties to it. One of the caves they lived in for around 3.5 months was so small that when they laid on the floor to sleep, they would not be able to straighten their legs. The cave was a small shelf. The cave has a small shelf cut into the wall, and tradition says that Mary, the Virgin Mary, would put the baby Jesus in this shelf to help keep the bugs off of him. The cave and one other cave that they lived in for a short while forced them to vacate because the Nile River overflowed and flooded the caves. All the while, the stories persisted that each place they stayed in was a place of hiding. To my knowledge, every spot the Holy Family was believed to have lived in is now a huge church, has a huge church built above it. The relentless fear or reality of being hunted for over 3.5 years would have taken a toll on most people. It's estimated the Holy Family traveled by foot or by boat on the Nile for over 2,000 kilometers while they were in Egypt, before returning to Israel. Divine intervention could have protected the Holy Family from the hardships of walking 2,000 kilometers, hiding for 3.5 years, being a threat of being hunted, whether perceived or reality, living in a cave that was smaller than most people's kitchen tables, bugs attacking the baby, running from floods, living in a foreign land, not having friends or relatives to rely on, and not to forget they were in a foreign land trying to navigate different cultures and languages. After they returned to Israel, and sometime before Jesus' ministry started, Jesus' earthly father, St. Joseph, dies. Yes, God could have saved them from all this hardship, but he didn't. Why? Because God wanted Jesus to experience an earthly life, not one with a golden spoon in his mouth. Jesus is fully human and fully divine, not just fully divine. It is so easy for us to pray to God to take our burdens away and even so go as far as to suggest that God is punishing us for some reason because conditions are not perfect for us. It may seem that everything is just happening to us and it doesn't happen to others because that is just because we can only feel our own pain and have no idea what other people are going through. Perhaps God doesn't end hunger or wars or hardships because he's waiting to see what we are going to do about them. We don't need a golden spoon hanging out of our mouth to get to heaven. We need to love God and others regardless of the conditions we live in. When Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, it was to take them to the promised land and out of slavery. When Jesus, Mary, and Joseph left Egypt, it was to open the gates of the promised land, heaven, and to release us from the slavery of sin. So after Jesus lived an earthly life full of fear, hatred, torture, and being murdered, what does Jesus want us to do? It's written in the first and second readings. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, just to mention a few. This does not sound like we should be filled with contempt with God for how our lives worked out, but instead we should live our life with God. We are about to start a brand new year, and perhaps we can find the strength to let go of some of our own control and let God guide us instead of us telling him how to guide us and how we should think and what we need. Joseph walked many thousands of kilometers leading a donkey, but every step he took was with God.
Let us now profess our faith in God. I believe in one